if you're listening to this podcast,
24-hour flash sale.
And, holy moly.
And we just released this episode. If you're not listening late, you are lucky because we don't do this very often. In fact, I think this is the second time in our history that we've done this.
Yeah.
It's a flash sale, 24 hours. That's it. It ends after 24 hours. Half off. 50% off our foundational program, MAPS Anabolic, the one that started it all. And 50% off the No BS six-pack formula. It is the program designed specifically to build six-pack abs, build those muscles out so they're more visible at lower body fat percentages. You can get one or the other, 50% off, or both, 50% off. It's 24 hours only. After the 24 hours are up, it's done. You can find this at mindpumpmedia.com.
If you've been thinking about this, get started now.
Coming in hot.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You know, this
this
day and age with social media, right? When I was talking to Juju when he stayed the night right at my place. And So we kind of stayed up and we were talking about, you know, growing your social media. And I was telling him, like, man, when I first started, I was just kind of emulating what everybody else was doing. And that was like, you know, take your shirt off and, you know, write inspiring quotes and, you know, do all the stuff that
dance, you monkey whore.
And I told him, wow. I said that the page grew that way. And I said, I was getting more likes, more traffic, more comments. And way back then than I even do now, even after Mind Pump, but none of them were real consumers. None of them were going to help me build a business because they were just literally, you know, probably masturbating to the pictures or whatever.
Whoa.
So
yeah, that's kind of a turn on.
Well, the reason why we started talking about this was because we were going through our feed.
You're stoked on that?
Yeah. You don't like thinking about people jerking off to you? Wait a minute. That came out wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
anyway, continue, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it like that.
I say fiddling.
Yeah.
Fiddling?
That's the word I use.
Double yeah. clicking?
That's what I tried to
think. DJing a little bit. You know?
Yeah, DJing. So I was telling him that, you know, I feel like I don't know where it started and why people thought that this would be a good business idea to do that, to get, because we got, you get all this attention, right, from people, and your following grows and you think, oh, okay, cool, I've got a million followers now, I can monetize because I saw so and so do it. And it just doesn't work that way. You know, it doesn't work. It's not that simple that you just get a bunch of people to look at you because you're half naked and then you can convert that into a business.
Unless your business is about you being naked.
Yeah, right. So, and there's some people that do that, like
right, Justin.
Yeah, like if you're in the business of like creating calendars of yourself half naked and that's what you plan to try and make money off of, then I can see that. But you get a lot of these people that try and do that. And I'm saying this from experience. Like I was like trying to figure the formula out. Like
wasn't that going to be your fallback?
Oh, absolutely. Maybe? I told you if we had to, I was going to, you know, I was going to make the cast of my penis and I was going to do calendars and, you know, I was like, if
you had to see now the cast of the penis calendar.
Yeah, I told Katrina, I said, listen,
things
get really tough for us. This is where we're going to have
to
go.
That's a lot of plaster of Paris. I don't know. That's a lot of material.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa.
And to be completely honest,
that's a lot of poundage in the UPS. That would be expensive to mail that out.
This is exactly what DeTortoise, she looked into it. She said, honey, this is going to cost us too much money to ship.
People will use this as a weapon.
This is, as much as you think this is a good idea, this is not going to happen. Like, it's not going to work. Like, we're going to have to go and do like these conventions.
You could do
drive with.
I already fixed it for you.
We'd have a van of dicks.
No, I already fixed it for you.
Van of dicks.
Which, by the way,
coming that on the side.
Well, that was going to be. We made these flyers and it
called
was like
van of dicks.
Coming. You know, a van of dicks.
You might not be allowed to near schools.
Coming to a town near you.
Yeah. And then you spell coming. C-U-M-M-I-N-G. Yeah,
coming.
Here's the thing. I just figured out your problem.
To a park.
I just figured out your problem. This is what you do. You do a miniaturized version of it, so you have to make as much. So you make it miniature, like 12 inches. Boom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mini dicks.
Yeah, like one third the size of the normal.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Here's your mini dick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the 36 inch.
Come to the expos if you want the full size experience.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, 3D.
Oh God. Are we gonna call somebody?
Panoramic.
Oh, we're just gonna call.
Okay.
What's his name?
Josh.
Okay, cool. We're calling Josh. Watch this.
Watch him not answer.
Yeah, right.
I know. We're so cool.
Right.
Did you send him a text telling him we're calling right now?
No.
Well,
I sent him a text a while ago.
Oh, you didn't even tell
him? He's not going to answer this phone number.
Let's just, if he doesn't answer, let's just fucking prank call people. Let's just call some random people up. Do you remember when you used to do that?
You can't prank call anymore.
Yeah.
You have reached the voicemail box of 80.
Stop that. There you go. We don't want people to have his phone number.
80, they can call him.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, good luck with that.
Prank calling doesn't work anymore. Why don't you shoot him a text?
Why doesn't
I did.
Okay. Why doesn't prank calling work anymore?
Because caller ID.
*67
Then who do you ever answer block numbers? I don't.
Well, I don't answer any numbers that don't come. The name doesn't.
Actually,
come
it's true. You don't answer my number either.
Yeah, you don't ever.
I used to.
You don't ever allow.
Dude,
us.
I don't answer.
Hold on a second. Does he not answer your phone calls either?
I don't answer.
No,
any. I don't answer.
I feel
any.
Like Adam's like he thinks he's like the president of the world. He's, like
no, it's not that at all.
Prince, trying Prince to call. P. Trying to call me right now.
I just know.
I'll leave it.
Dare you?
I just know all of you guys. If it's that important, you'll send me a text message. You'll be like, you'll like answer your phone, and then I'll answer my phone.
Answer your
but
phone,
if you just
asshole.
Call, if you just call me, he's like, oh, he's just calling.
Dude, I have this idea. He's like, yeah. No.
Yeah, no.
The only reason today. Why I call anybody is because it's super important. You
is
know
that
what I'm
right?
saying? Yes. Every time, dude.
I disagree.
I was going to tell you. No. I called you yesterday. Because I was going to tell you something very important, like, but then you didn't answer, so forget it.
Like, oh, did you see that chick's ass on Instagram?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like that.
Oh, thanks, Al.
Yeah.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Did you see Summer Rae's page today? Oh, my God.
Oh.
Did you see that?
That's pretty specific, Adam.
Well, let's be honest. But 8-point-something million people could probably totally relate to that statement right there.
We just gave her all of our listeners now, too.
Yeah. I forgot. Which one is she?
Which one is she?
Which one?
Oh, that one.
The unique one.
Oh, that one.
Very unique.
That's majestic.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you think she has butt implants?
I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, really? Don't ruin it for me if she does.
You think so?
Nah. When people told me about Paige Hathaway having a fake ass, I was like, oh, man. Oh, man.
It does. It does make it. It does.
It takes away a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
It does a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never grappled with a fake butt, so I don't know. If you can tell or not, like you could tell boobs usually.
No, I disagree, man. They've got that shit down now. There's been times where you know I've definitely been fooled.
You have.
I try to say that as politically correct as possible, right?
you've been tricked.
Honey, I love you.
Oh,
you've been fooled.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Where you're like, oh my God, this hot chick. You get back to your, oh wow, oh, take your clothes
no,
off.
I've been
oh,
like,
you have a dick.
Oh.
Like
no,
that?
No, not full
now
like that.
Now this is a situation.
No. Yeah. That only needs to happen one time in your life and then forever you figure
it out. You learn all
yeah,
the
you
signs,
learn that lesson.
Yeah.
That's a hard lesson
Next
to learn.
Next time, look for the Adam's apple.
She's like, we'll do it, but it has to be in the dark, doggy style. You're like, okay.
Oh, good.
That works.
I mean, I like where this is going.
And then she goes, get on your knees. You're like, wait a second. That's Yeah. This isn't how this is supposed
after,
to go.
Hands and knees. Please.
After you're done having what? Sex, like she goes pee, but leaves the door open a little bit, and she's like
and
standing,
and the seat covers
yeah.
up.
Yeah, she's peeing standing. You're like, what the fuck?
You hear it? No, no. You just tell by the sound of the pee. It's like, and it's like, yeah.
That's prostate problems.
I'm telling you.
You might want to get checked. You might want that checked out there.
Oh, you put that together.
Actually, no. Justin has the most powerful stream out of all of us. I listen.
How do you know that?
Yeah. I hear it. I hear it when we go pee.
Okay.
It's fucking, you're healthy. You're
very
healthy.
It's kind of weird that you know that, but I can see.
I observe things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hear them, and I know. Healthy prostate.
Okay, cool.
We won't talk about Adam.
Let's do this.
We won't talk about mine.
No, I'm not waking up a million times a night. You know, that's usually a good sign.
I get up all night long.
Have you thought about wearing the diaper?
I have thought about it. I have. I've thought about it.
I mean, it might be comfortable.
That's about as
knowing
far as it went.
That you don't have to get up.
Well, you get you first
it's
of
not comfortable to wear it.
A, you get to sleep. You don't have to wake up.
Yeah.
B, in the morning, you tell your girl to change your diaper. Could be fun.
Whoa.
Could be fun.
There's a whole camp for that, right?
And C,
the diaper position.
What do they call it?
I don't know.
Did you say diaper position?
Baby diaper.
Can we
change me?
Can we do this? Yeah. Can we do this from now on?
What?
I wanted to do this before, but I totally forgot to tell you guys.
What?
When we create a program, you know, we create exercises many times, and we name them things like the maps, red row, or the you know whatever.
Oh yeah, we get crazy.
Can we come up with a fucked up name?
Something
like diaper position.
Diaper.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just come up with the fucked
like
up ass.
Hot diaper position.
Yeah, yeah. Like, like phase two, exercise three.
Like you're going to want to change this.
You're going to
do. You know what I mean?
We're doing the hot diaper squat.
Baby made messy.
I think we've already done this before. I feel like we've already had.
Baby made messy.
We've got. Where are you going right now?
I don't know. That's a good name for an exercise.
You know what I mean?
That's a horrific name for
an
exercise.
I mean, I can feel like yoga community would adopt that.
Maybe.
They already do. They had the baby.
Ooh, baby made Missy. Everybody kicks their feet up and hands up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. So you use your core.
It's a thing. Yeah, you got to kind of lean forward so you rock with it a little bit.
Can we YouTube this afterwards, please?
Yeah, baby made Messy.
Can we please do that? Oh, you know what?
Core exercise.
By the way, if you're listening still and you haven't gone over to Mind Pump TV, we have a YouTube channel. It's free, actually. Every day,
every channel on YouTube.
Yeah, right. Every day we drop content on there,
especially ours.
So make sure you subscribe so you get the notification. We try and keep it short and sweet. They're normally 3 to 5 minutes long, so it's good little bit of information.
Enough
for
time to have sex 3 times.
That's right. Exactly. Whoa. So make sure you guys subscribe to that. It's Mind Pump. You can just search Mind Pump. It's actually Mind Pump TV, but if you search Mind Pump, it pops right up. You can't miss it.
It's us and then that other fucking page that has Mind Pump in the title.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the gorillas.
It's like bodybuilding motivation.
Vein popping gorillas.
You know what? You know what? Little do they know, don't we hold the
trademark,
trademark on the name?
We do. If we wanted to be dicks, we could pull that card, but there's no reason to.
If you're listening to our show and you have that channel, you might want to share us and boost us a little bit, because who knows what might happen later on.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
We're nice guys.
I'm not saying I'm Sicilian, but I'm saying I'm Sicilian.
Hey, are we gonna
is what I'm saying.
Are we gonna give this guy a call? What's the plan here?
Did he text you back?
Did he not respond back to you, Justin?
He didn't respond back to me.
He's not a fan of mine.
Wait, no, here we go. Oh, sorry, can you try one more time? I'll be ready this time.
Do it, Doug.
Boom! Just when I was gonna write him off.
What's his name again? John?
Josh. Josh Wardle. One of our boys.
Oh yeah, Josh Wardle.
Yes. He has a Blockbuster video that's overdue.
Okay, yeah, that's the pitch. That's what we're going with.
No, we did that to Sal.
What about the library? Maybe the library this time.
The library book? Yeah. Oh, you have a library?
You have a library book.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hey.
Is this Josh?
This is Josh.
Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Pretty good. How are you guys
good. Are you wearing pants?
That's always a good thing. That's always good.
Okay, well, yeah, we just want to make sure you're wearing pants. That's an important question we ask all of our guests before we start.
Yep. Yeah.
So we get to know.
Yeah, sometimes with you guys, I just feel so comfortable. Sometimes it's hard to even want to wear them. So, but I got them on right now. I'm at work, so okay. I have to be professional.
Okay, that's good. So tell us real quick. We know, but we want you to share with everybody because people are probably like, what the fuck are they doing calling somebody right now? Share with us what you do for work, what you do for a living real quick, and then we'll get into a little bit of your story.
So I actually work up in Logan, Utah, Utah State University. I'm currently an academic advisor and also a weight training instructor up here. So that sets the majority of what I do. I used to personal train up here on campus as a part of the employee wellness program, but I kind of put that to the side when I decided to pursue teaching more full-time. So,
very cool. So how did you find Mind Pump?
Yeah, so like I said, I used to be a personal trainer, and I'm always trying to look for new information and new way to just new sources and frankly a little bit more entertaining sources. I tried podcasts actually for a while as a good place to try and find information, and nothing really stood out to me at the time. I think there's some good information, but frankly it was all boring. But I just really wanted to have more opportunities to learn after I graduated from college and to keep making myself a better trainer. And I just didn't feel like my programs that I was putting together for some of my clients I just didn't feel like they were up to par. And everything that I would always see was just a lot of more bodybuilding style routines. And to me, I never understood the bodybuilding routines completely. And what I mean by that is more just the intensity based, you know, where you do body part splits. To me, frequency always made much more sense to me. You know, I didn't understand why lifting weights would be any different than any other activity, right? So, you know, if I'm learning to ride a bike, I don't say on Monday I'm going to go ride a bike, and then on Tuesday I'm going to practice riding my skateboard, and Wednesday I'm going to ride a scooter, right? So to me, it just made sense. And, you know, to practice that every day. So anyway, I happened to give you guys a shot. I noticed it came up in one of my suggestions for podcasts. It was actually on my way home from one of my training sessions. I remember the first time I started listening, and I'll be completely honest, because I know you guys enjoy transparency. I couldn't stand you guys at first.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's because it was like it was, really heavy information, or because Sal's an asshole?
Yeah. Or the dick jokes.
It was one of the, I think you guys were telling the story about how you guys got drunk at the pool party and challenged the college swimmers to a race or something.
It was
like
one
that.
Of Adam's very ego stories.
Yeah, humbling day. humbling day
exactly.
for me.
And I was like, these guys are a bunch of tools. Who the heck are these guys? And, you know, but, and so I actually, yes. I stopped listening after like, it was like, you know, the first 5 minutes of course. And I was like, this is a waste. So I turned you guys off, and I don't know what made me decide to give it another shot, but I turned on another one. And again, the first about 5-10 minutes, I don't remember which story it was, but you guys told another story, and I was like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I noticed I just kept, once you guys got into, it was one of the quads, one of the first quads that I heard. And I just noticed when you guys were answering questions, I was nodding my head. It was everything that you guys presented, and I was like, okay, all right, these guys, maybe they're tools, but they know what they're talking about.
they're useful tools.
I know you guys aren't
that's
tools
what a
anymore,
tool
I promise,
is.
But it's just
thank you
the
for
initial
that compliment.
You know, reaction. So, yeah. But so anyway, yeah, so I ended up really just falling in love with the podcast, the way you present the information, and frankly, I really love the entertaining aspect of it now, so.
I love hearing that because you're not the first person, obviously, to tell us that Sal's a tool and that, you know, when they first listen to us and then after they get a chance to hear that he actually has some good information to say that they kind of get hooked on. Right. So
it's all about me. So you've gone through and done our MAPS programs. You wrote us a pretty lengthy testimonial, if you will, that was pretty awesome. We really enjoyed reading it. Because you're coming from the perspective of an individual who's educated in fitness, who's trained people, and obviously now you teach it at the university level. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I first tried out MAPS Anabolic, and as I kind of said before, it frequency always made sense to me. Full body workouts, it always made sense. I felt better after my workouts. I mean, I never understood why people wanted to destroy themselves in the gym and then try and do it again the next day. It was like they were trying to compete with their body, and their body wasn't able to keep up. And so for me, you know, I wanted to still be strong every day I came into the gym. And so MAPS Anabolic was awesome. I loved the trigger sessions. Mm. Oh, they were so awesome. And then I still, to this day, I always try and incorporate those, just movement in general. I think that's really kind of the point of MAPS Anabolic, was just more movement. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like the trigger sessions did. And, you know, the more I was able to, you know, put my muscles through the range of motion, the better that my body felt. And I think Dr. Brink actually mentioned on an episode, it was a couple episodes ago when he was on there. I think he compared us to like animals, like how a dog can take off sprinting and yet it's not going to pull a hammy, right? But,
right.
You know, we do it. And, you know, that's what happens. And so that just made a lot of sense to me. And then I will say the one thing that I love about you guys is, even though I agree with a lot, initially there's a lot of things that I was very skeptical about. And the No BS Six-Pack Abs program was one that I was extremely skeptical about. And I don't know why, if it's just the whole, you know, doing core exercises with weights, or I don't know what it was, but it just seemed so far-fetched for me. But, you know, as you say on here a lot, you know, getting your paradigm shattered is, you know, one of the best things that you can do for yourself. And man, that was quite the experience for me. I think that No BS Six-Pack Abs is just a hidden gem that I think everybody should incorporate into their program. I thought it was incredible.
Awesome. Much appreciated, man.
So what else have you gone through? Have you gone through almost everything?
Yeah, so I've gone through everything. So you guys got me hooked.
Give us, I would love, I mean, you sound very, okay, so I would like to hear your opinion on each one of the programs and the things that you liked about them, if you've seen most everything.
Yeah, for sure. So So after I went through anabolic and the six pack abs, then I went through, I think the next one that I went through was MAPS Black, MAPS Aesthetic. I actually skipped out initially on green. So I think I first started listening to you guys when all you had was just MAPS Red and six pack abs. And then I think MAPS Green came out, MAPS Performance. And initially, I feel like this is how most people are with MAPS Performance, is they're like, oh, maybe it's not for me, or it's just not as sexy, I guess. And so I actually didn't get that one. I waited until MAPS Aesthetics came out. And yeah, and initially that was the one I was most excited for. I really thought that that was going to be the one that I was, I thought I'd see the most results in. And I did see results, but honestly, I ended up getting MAPS Green, MAPS Performance Tracker, and that was the one I ended up liking more. I guess the way that it was designed to just help me just perform. I think I realized that when I was going through MAPS Black, I just felt like my movement wasn't as good as it could have been. I just felt like my range of motion was just a tad off, and I just felt like I wasn't optimizing the results like I could have in MAPS Black. So what I did was I bought MAPS Performance, and I did a bout of that, and it was humbling for sure, because you do have to drop weight in a lot of different areas,
right?
But it's ultimately, you know, long term, it's absolutely worth it. So I went through MAPS Green, and then I jumped back on MAPS Black right after, and the results were what I was hoping for initially. So it's really weird because I used MAPS Green as kind of like a jumping off point in order to help me optimize results for MAPS Black. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, it makes beautiful sense. It's the reason why it's in that order. You know, that's exactly how. And I love hearing when people kind of experiment themselves and then how they find this out, because real similar to you, that's kind of how I trained. And MAPS Green was kind of the last thing that I did. And it was such a game changer for me as far as working on my movement and mobility. And then when I revisited the other programs, it was like, holy shit, like that was a big moment for me too.
It's 100% why when people follow our big, you know, MAPS bundles, that they go anabolic, performance, and then aesthetic. Mm-hmm. because we see that that's the best progression for most people.
And not to say that you can't do it another way, it's just that this is what we have
for
found.
Most people,
for most people is exactly what you're explaining right now, is that, you know, if you can humble yourself, go through performance, because it's not the sexiest looking program because of the type of stuff that you're doing in there, it's probably one of the biggest game changers for most people. Yeah.
And then, you know, did you do MAPS anywhere by any chance? Excuse me.
Yeah, that's another one that was just totally paradigm shattering. I don't know if you guys saw, so on the private, on the forum, I posted, I started doing, every week I would do like an update as I went through MAPS Anywhere. And, so initially, I taught a boot camp class for about 3-4 years up here on campus for the, employee wellness program. And, so, you know, I felt like I knew everything there was to know about body weight programming and how to go about it. But tell you what, I decided I wanted to take a break from the weight from the gym for the month of December. And I was like, oh, I'll give MAPS Anywhere a shot. And I'll tell you that one of the hardest things I noticed with body weight programs is I feel like they can be the highest likelihood of developing muscle imbalances, in my opinion, just because there's a lot of shoulders kind of roll forward, a lot of moves, a lot of push-ups, and a lot of kind of those type of movements. There's not as much, you know, shoulder retraction movement. And I noticed that was the first thing that I noticed, was how much of that was in the MAPS Anywhere programming. It helped my posture, and it definitely helped my overall core stabilization for, you know, my core lifts in the gym, you know, my squats and my deadlifts. It was incredible.
That's freaking awesome.
That's awesome.
Man.
Yeah, excellent. It's exactly what we intended. So that's awesome.
Excellent. No, I think we get testimonials all the time now from our programs, but we really appreciate it coming from people of your caliber of education and experience, because you know, when you look at a program, if you're a beginner or whatever, you only see, you don't see it as deep. It's like a computer programmer looking at, you know, a website or whatever. They can see much deeper. You being a trainer with your education, you can see some of the method to some of the madness. So anyway, we really appreciate your testimony. We really appreciate you coming on, letting us give you a call.
Thank you so much. Hey, Josh, too, I like to do something. Hey, Doug, it's is Brianna admin or is she info?
She's info.
So do me a favor, Josh. I want you to email info@mindpumpmedia.com and send over Brianna your shirt size and stuff. I'd like to send you some gear as just a thank you for being such a huge supporter and taking the time to share your kind of testimonial with us. So if you could do that, send it over to her, and I'll get you some gear over to you, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. And you know what? The pleasure is all mine. You guys have done so much for me and I think I mentioned this to Justin, you've really kind of changed my perspective and even what I'm going to pursue moving forward. I think it's time that, you know, this curriculum that they're teaching in college needs to be changed. So you guys have done so much for me. I can't repay you, so I appreciate it.
Awesome, beautiful, man. Thanks for your time, Josh.
Yeah, thank you. See you guys.
Excellent. Right. Is that right in time for the Eagle?
Somebody shot the eagle.
Chimera Quaw. Today's Quaw is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-quaw.
Luke Mack, 1991. With all the science showing full body routine superior to split, why do people still do splits?
Wow, what a great follow-up question to the conversation we just had with Josh. So he's two things here. He's saying with all the science supporting full body routines over splits, let's be clear, there is lots of science. When they compare head-to-head with good, well-done studies, full-body-based routines versus body part split routines, the full-body routines outperform the splits almost every single time. Now, remember, full-body routine simply means you're training the entire body a few times a week versus a split where you hit each body part, you know, once a week where you're doing, you know, today's chest, tomorrow's back, you know, the typical bodybuilder, what they call bro split. And full body routines are just, they're superior for many, many reasons. One of them being the frequency of muscle stimulation. And now we do know that the muscle building signal really peaks at 24 to 48 hours and starts to die down at about 72 hours. And if you're hitting your muscle groups once a week, even though you're recovering, that muscle building signal now is dampened. So you're wasting all those days where you can hit it again in a full body type routine and get, I mean, you could do the same volume the whole week. You do the same amount of exercises. You can even do the same exercises. You're just hitting them more frequency, although there's more that goes into it. But why?
Well, that's revisiting the science behind it. We know it's superior, but why do people keep doing it? It's the same reason why people keep smoking fucking cigarettes.
Well,
I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. We know what lies with it, right? We know that it's not healthy for you. We know it's not good. There's plenty of science, plenty of information that's out there. Yet people still choose to light it because that's their thing, right? So I feel the same way goes with somebody that's going to do a bro split. I mean, there's not to mention there's a ton of stuff out there that is the opposite of what we're saying. I mean, if you go to the grocery store right now and go pick up five magazines and look at the workouts that they're promoting from these, you know, huge bodybuilders.
It's all splits.
Yeah, it's all splits.
I mean, the bottom line is splits are promoted heavily by people who are on anabolics, lots of them, and who have really, really good muscle building genes. And so what's probably happening, and I would fucking love for a study to look into this, but what's probably happening with some of these individuals is they'll lift weights, they'll hit their biceps, and their muscle building signal's on all the time.
Yeah,
they don't really have to worry about it dampening so much. Number one, they have this hormonal signal that's high all the time. And number two, they probably have the genes that make this work. But the vast majority of people aren't in this category. And so splits, they tend to, and by the way, full body workouts are starting to make a big comeback. I'm seeing some people in the fitness industry promote full body workouts now to build muscle. You're starting to see more and more of that.
Are you starting to see more of that, huh?
You are. Well, Brett Contreras promotes very similar type of stuff. Lane Norton's splits are more full body. Even Stepani did this whole post, and it was more of a full body.
That was recent, though.
That was really recent.
We know where that came from.
Well, my point is, I think people are starting to see, you know, that full body based routines are superior. But I mean, splits have a couple advantages. One, you know, if you're one of those people that loves to punish yourself and you want to get a really crazy pump and just beat the crap out of a muscle. You do that with a split, right? I can go in there and I just want to beat the crap out of my chest.
Well, here what you're highlighting is, you know, the entire culture built around this.
There you go.
Right? Because it's the, oh my God, the leg day memes where they're crawling. It's the fucking, you know, chest Mondays. There's shirt companies. There's like machines. There's gyms completely centered around this ritualistic culture where we go in, we have our protein shake, we do our workout, you know, and then we all have horrific shits that we take together, you know, like we complain about it, we take our fucking drugs to keep going, you know, I wear a bandana, I got this like stringer on, you know what I'm saying?
Oh man,
like,
you went the full nine yards.
Boom! I say boom a lot, boom, 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 boom! You know what I mean? I get money from Jersey Shore, I create a whole company around it, you know what I mean? It just becomes this thing, oh look, this fake tits over there, let's get her on board.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what happens.
Wow. It is. No, it's a cult. It's definitely.
You went hella far.
You did go far.
You went deep.
You did. It was good.
I had to, though.
It was good, though. It is.
Justin was holding that inside.
I was. I was like, oh, that was therapy right there.
You had to let it out.
Yeah. Well, and I think, let's be honest, too, there's less programming involved. There's it takes less knowledge to just go hammer.
So much easier to design a split.
If you're doing a body part split where you've just, and then the extent of the programming, right, or progression to that is you just hit that one muscle more days, right? So you have this body part split where Monday's chest, Tuesday's arms, Wednesday's shoulders, Thursday's legs, right? And then you take a day off and then you start your cycle over again, right? But if you want to bring something up or you want to build more of your shoulder, then all you do is just add that one muscle to another day or a third day of the week and you take no days off. That's kind of like the extent of programming when it comes to a bro split.
It literally looks like this. You're going to do chest today if you're doing a body part split. Do two compound heavy movements. Do three finisher-based, you know, pumping movements, and then you're done. And it's super, it's like there's no rhyme or reason to, well, there's a little bit of rhyme and reason, but
yeah,
the programming
there's some.
Super.
It's very simple.
It's very simple. And again, like I've had people tell me like, man, I love MAPS. I love full body-based training. I get amazing results. It kicks the crap out of my old routine, but I kind of do miss going into the gym and hammering the crap out of one muscle. There's a little bit of that component, right? There's a little bit of that mentality, like where I go in and I do 15 sets just for my biceps. And there's that psychological, you know, feeling of this is a weak body part and I'm going to beat it up, you know, type of deal.
I think what I try and promote or like give people the freedom because, you know, when we created MAPS, it was really to give people a solid foundation that we encourage flexibility and trying different things out. And, you know, I would be lying to say if there wasn't a day like where I'm like, man, I really have been neglecting my arms. Like, and I don't really feel like getting after a full body and a full routine today. And I might just get a little arm pump. But to me, that kind of reflects our trigger sessions, right? So that's kind of, or our focus sessions. But, you know, it's you just don't want to get stuck in this routine of that's how you train all the time where it's because you, I mean, if you do, you're settling for less results. You're going to get more results if you learn to train the body in these full body type of routines with more frequency. That's it. That's the real message to take away from this. It doesn't mean that, you know, bro splits, you can't build muscle. It doesn't mean bro splits. I mean, I spent a majority of my bodybuilding career in lifting, like actually doing bro splits. But the evolution of my training has gotten to where it's at now where I do more full body. And quite frankly, it's way less work. At first, it seems like more work because I remember thinking to myself like, oh God, really? Squatting and overhead pressing every other day? Like, that's exhausting sounding at first. But mm-hmm. once you get in the routine of doing that and then you realize the benefits that you get from that, then you never go back again. Then it's like, this is a no-brainer. Now I know that I can come in the gym. There's four or five major compound movements I can do and just touch the weights. And I can maintain my physique where it's at. I've worked the last probably three to four months, I have worked out less than I have in a very long time. Now, mind you, I'm nowhere near the best shape I've ever been in, but I've been maintaining it. And I know that if I were to ramp up my volume real quick, like hopping on a MAPS Black, oh God, dude, I already know I'd be right. I'd be so responsive. So, you know, if you really enjoy going to the gym 7 days a week and barely inching along your results, then
stick to a split.
Yeah. Who are we to say you can't do that or you shouldn't do that? People will continue to do that. We're not going to stop them. There's going to be people continuing to smoke cigarettes too. We're not going to stop them.
Kuno 85, thoughts on Nick Cheadle now that he's very IIFYM?
Nicky, Cheadle. He just won Bodybuilding Spokesmodel of the Year.
Did he really?
He is the. Yeah, remember what Craig won?
He's the new Craig.
Yeah, Craig, Kalicha Oprah, I think the other guy's name was Steve Cook. And now Nicky Cheadle over there have won the so congratulations to Nick if he still tunes into Mind Pump.
Yeah, he's got over 500,000 now followers on Instagram.
Yeah,
good looking guy,
gorgeous guy,
very great physique.
Great physique.
There goes Adam again.
Well, he's when I met him,
I think he's all right.
He was very impressive in person because normally when you see a guy with his aesthetics. And good symmetry like he has, it's rare you find a guy that's over 6 foot that looks like he's six, like I think he's 6'1". Mm-hmm. He's not a little guy. So he's not like a short little 5'10".
Yeah, I know you like him big.
When I meet an aesthetic motherfucker that's over 6 foot, I'm always very impressed because I know the work that it takes in to make that body look aesthetic and symmetrical because it normally isn't. Normally when you're 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", you were built to swim in a pool or row a boat or do something else. You weren't built to get on a stage and be judged for your symmetry. So when I see a symmetrical physique like his, extremely impressed with his dedication and stuff that he's done.
His workouts too, if you look at the way he trains, he does a lot of the compound big mm-hmm. heavy movements. He deadlifts a lot, squats a lot. Mm-hmm. It looks like he does a lot of the right things with his workouts from a professional trainer standpoint when I look at some of the stuff that he does.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, let's talk a little bit about his IIFYM stances.
Well,
he's very much into that, but I, if you're listening, Nick, like you need to veer off that a little bit because that's going to bite you. It's going to bite everybody. Everybody right now in fitness who is headstrong, clinging on to the freaking pubes of IIFYM, who won't let go. You got to let go because that shit's going to go down. I promise you. It's ridiculous when you talk to we've now talked to some world leading researchers on the subjects of nutrition and how food affects the body. Every single one of them will laugh at that, at the concept of if it fits your macros you can eat it. All of them talk about nutrient dense foods. All of them talk about other compounds in foods like phytonutrients and things that are not that have don't have calories and that are not a vitamin or a mineral. Things like antioxidants and other type of compounds.
Well, especially for your general audience, I think is the point. Because he's on a professional level and he's talking about like a very extreme, this is in competition with a very extreme mindset of like, tilapia and, everything like asparagus, everything super clean from a clean perspective. Whereas like IIFYM was kind of the interrupter of that. Within that community, but then, kind of trickling down now, let's filter down now to like your general public and people in the gym. Like let's get more focused on health and instead of just combating one element you see that's wrong.
Well, this is, this reminds me a lot of the way I thought when I was a younger trainer is, when I would learn something and obviously he's a very smart guy too. So he gives out great information on his page. So I really like Nick and I like the information that he provides for the most part. The nutrition thing is probably the only thing that we disagree on. And where we disagree is not that we don't disagree that IIFYM works. That doesn't mean you can't have an incredible physique like he has and follow that type of protocol. Where we disagree is that when you've trained thousands of people and you realize the struggles that they have, you realize the type of message as a trainer that you kind of need to send to them to help them in the right direction.
and sending them a message that, hey, you can have these things too, is the wrong message. That's the message that to sell stuff or to market to them, because you know you're playing into their insecurities.
Well, dude, it started. I don't remember what protein company. It wasn't Optimum Nutrition that he was kind of loosely connected to.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
He's
right?
Sponsored by.
Yeah. So they're the people. Look, here's the thing. Like, a lot of times you look at these people and what they promote. You look at who's pulling the strings. You got Optimum Nutrition. You've got Bodybuilding.com. Of course, you're going to want to downplay the potential negatives of things like artificial sweeteners and colors,
yeah.
You know, colorings. Of course, you're not going to talk about how whole foods is probably it's all you should eat, and that supplements are really should really be used to supplement for your needs, but not should not be like a regular daily staple mm-hmm. in your diet. Of course, you're going to support IIFOM to the 10th degree. Because how can you not? If he doesn't, look, you remember what happened with when we originally started recording Mind Pump, even with Craig. He couldn't continue because of who his sponsor was, and his sponsor freaked out a little bit about Mind Pump.
Yeah, no.
Like, you know, if your paycheck is coming from these companies that promote a lot of this garbage, that's who you have to be, or you got to go figure that shit out on your own and do it on your own. And in this world of fitness
and
business,
and this is always why I kind of have a soft spot for all of these guys, because it's not like there's a ton of really good companies, really good people paying people like ourselves or like a Nick Chettle to
there's
go
nothing out there.
There isn't. Yeah. There's no one out there that's
hopefully one day we can be that.
Well,
though,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Awesome. I mean, I think that's the ultimate vision of Mind Pump Media, is that we will produce people that we think are giving a great message out there and help them make money doing that. Unfortunately, we're dominated right now by supplement companies, and that's probably, I would say, 80% of how people in the fitness industry make their money.
I venture to say even higher.
Right? I mean, I'm just throwing a crazy number out there, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's higher than that. So then when I meet and this goes, you know, Lane Norton's and the Nick Chettles that are like this, that, you know, I feel bad because a lot of what they do put out there, a lot of the things they do say is good, and they are sharing good information. And I believe that their mission, their first mission was really genuine and pure. And now they've kind of tried to find a, they have to find a way to juggle both. Like, how do I continue giving a good message? Like, and that's why I like Nick. Like, I think he tries to do good things. Like, for example, he's one of the first people that I've seen besides myself, because I was doing this a long time ago, where I would show people, like, you know, a completely flex picture and a picture where I'm relaxed, or I would show you a picture of me first thing in the morning, just shot, and then I would show you what I looked like after I had 3,000 calories, a gallon of water, and I'd pump my muscles up, and I could show this crazy drastic difference in the photo, and none of it was Photoshopped. It was just literally me manipulating my water, my food, and my pump to show you guys that I could present myself as much bigger and more buff looking after a serious pump, which is what a lot of these athletes or bodybuilder guys and or fitness Instagram stars do, is they, you know, the best lighting right after a pump, totally depleted, you know, photos they've saved for that one time they're in the best shape of their life. Like, you know, Nick keeps it real. Like, this is a lifelong journey that he's doing, and he's always trying to improve on it. This is what I look like when I'm relaxed. This is what I look like when I actually flex for the camera. I like that stuff, and I don't think enough people are putting that message out there. So I do want to give him some love and credit for what he does.
Definitely.
Right.
It just makes me sad, because I'm seeing really talented people who are going to go this direction, who it's going to hurt them. I think it'll hurt them in the long run. Here's what's happening with a lot of these companies, is they see what's happening. They're but they can still deny it, right? There's enough science on their side. There's not enough, like, conclusive, like, blockbusting information that's coming out that's hammering them. So they're just waiting. They're waiting for, because they can still
sort
put denial.
Dipping their toes over here, but not really committing.
Yeah, they
to
can
it
still
yet.
Say they can still say the FDA approved aspartame years ago and did all these studies on animals and showed it was safe. And, you know, they can still say that stuff. So they're going to stick around for a little longer. But if you wait till the hammer drops, when you change, you know, when you change teams at that point, it's tough, because now you've lost credibility. So I don't know. I know the direction I would go, and it's always in the direction of where I think the truth is. So
Oliver Cunningham, the pros and cons of group training.
Group training. I've taught very little. I've done a couple boot camps. I'm not a big fan of group training.
I've done quite a few boot camps.
You've done quite. I know Adam taught Adam's a lot of group training most, at Orange Theory. Yeah. You know, the pros of group training are that the motivation that people get from, and I think this is all the pros of it. I think this is everything that's good about group training is this right here.
Oh, yeah. It's the synergy. It's the energy in that's there. It. It's the instructor that's super positive. Yeah. Like, you're just feeding off of that.
Yeah, it's the motivation. Right? It's the fun. Your friends are there. You like seeing the other people there.
Right.
That's where the pros start and end.
Almost in.
Yeah, there's no other pros.
They do end, yeah.
The cons are the programming. I don't give a shit how good you program a group class. Man. It will never come within the universe of programming for an individual. Does no. It just can't. It's impossible. That's a con. Number two, the intensity applied in group training is usually inappropriate for most of the people in there,
and it pushes people to go further than they would
because they got the people around them.
A problem, which people don't think is a problem, but for the most part, that's a big problem. Mm-hmm. So
the lack of progression, like how do you've got a group of 15 people taking your class, and even if it's just one class, let's just say it's real small, it's one class, right? They're all going to progress at different rates. Like, how do you scale them up? How do you progress them? How do you move them forward?
Right.
What ends up happening with group classes is it ends up starting off one way, and then it turns into something, and then it stays the same.
Well, and they have
it doesn't
one,
change.
Yeah, they have one metric, if they are paying attention to that, mm-hmm. is just load.
That's right.
And that's it.
That's right. So group training, for me, if it motivates you, excellent. Otherwise, training one-on-one with a trainer is so much more valuable. And then following good programming for yourself and paying attention to your body is just so much better.
I definitely want to hear Adam voicing on that.
Well, he's got a lot. I mean, you taught up until recently. You were teaching at
I've taught group classes for 12 years now, consistently. I've ran boot camps all over San Jose. I taught group classes even when I worked for 24 Hour Fitness. I've taught for Orange Theory. I still hold a Saturday class where a group of people come and see me. So it's probably gonna be funny to hear me say what I'm gonna say about group training, yet I still do it and I've done it for a long time. So here's my philosophy on it. If you can't imagine yourself wanting to learn and find out what's best for your body and progressing what you should do as an individual, and the only way you're going to move and exercise is in a group setting, then I recommend a group class for you. If you're not willing to learn and try and figure out what your body needs nutritionally, what it needs exercise, what it needs correctively, if you just refuse to do that and you say, I'm not going to do any of that shit, I don't care enough, but I do recognize that technology has now forced me to not move at all day long, and I recognize that just movement is important and I need to incorporate that to counter some of my bad habits of eating and sitting still. If that's you, that's about the only person that I would say should be in a group class setting. If you have goals of really improving your physique, improving your nutrition knowledge, improving your own body awareness and understanding what's going on with you and aches and pains and stuff like that, you should run from the class, any class that you're that's trying to get you to go to class, because it's just impossible to address those things in a group setting. So that being said, how have I managed to do all that while teaching classes all the time? Well, when it's mine, and so when I teach on Saturdays, and this is an evolution. So I started teaching boot camps, like bad boot camps. Like that was, I just threw hard workouts and made people sweat and made it fun and this and that. And that was kind of the approach was, you know, you're here to see me on a Saturday and you're going to burn a bunch of calories and I'm going to make a bunch of hard exercises for you. And that was the extent of it, really, where now, like, I've evolved to this. Okay, these people that are seeing me on Saturday, they're not going to the gym, they're not working out whatsoever. They basically come here on Saturdays to see me. What can I provide for them in a group setting that I think is the most beneficial thing? So really what I do, a lot of this is just recent, in the last like probably 6 months, well, maybe a little longer, have I started to do a lot of Ken stretching with them in my class. And so we actually don't even lift weights. And what I do is I will take a movement like a squat.
in a group setting, and I will demonstrate what I want it to look like, and then I'll have everybody kind of do it, and then I'll pick a few people and show some common imbalances or common dysfunctions that they have, and then we'll get down into specific kin stretches that will help get them reconnected to these areas that they're disconnected.
You're doing group one-on-one training is what you're doing.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally modifying it to so I feel good about providing this group setting. Why, too, I'm really not a fan of group classes that are in like franchise type settings is because what ends up happening, and I watched this in my small journey in Orange Theory, is it starts off really cool. And I remember when I first got started at Orange Theory, I was excited because my buddy Brendan was really like, gave me all the flexibility in the world. Like, hey, man, this is, you know, it's his facility. And, you know, he trusted, you know, that I would provide good information for the place. And he really let me kind of do whatever I wanted there, which was really cool. You know, so I totally changed templates. I added my own stretching before we started the classes. I gave nutritional tips and guidance afterwards to help these people outside of this class. So that's how it started. But what ends up happening, and I knew it would happen one day, and that's why it was an easy part for us, was, you know, the franchise can't do that forever because it's a franchise. And sooner or later, all the trainers need to start to becoming almost robotic, and they have to create this formula that's for everybody in the entire company to follow, to the point where they take things that are scientific, like EPOC, that is true and happens, but is not something that is formulaic for a class. Like the way EPOC affects, you know, the class that has 30 people is individual for each one of them, but that they can't do that. So what do? They teach the trainers a generic formula or a generic spiel that they tell the people that they know will motivate the people to want to come to more classes and follow this protocol, when in reality, it's really a bunch of shit. And in reality, it's so the variance between each individual is so high and so different that to wrap your entire business around that and get everybody preaching around all that, it's a lot of what happened to us when we were early trainers in 24-Hour Fitness. It's the reason why we can all talk about this, because I remember when we first started at 24-Hour Fitness, the information and the science that I was giving was the science that I was provided. Mm-hmm. And I was provided this information, and it was packaged in a way that helped me sell more training, more supplements, more of...
That's how it was designed. You're selling the system.
You're selling the system. And so what a lot of these trainers that work for facilities like this, they don't know better. So it's not their fault, you know? So like, right. I would look around at my peers and I would get frustrated because they are being told that they need to say this and they need to present this at the classes and they need to be talking like this. And I'm going like, God, this is not helping people. This is not what's really helping people, but this is what they have to do to keep their job. And they don't see it. They don't know it because they've never even heard the science. And so the first time they're hearing the science is from this franchise that's giving it to them and packaging it the way they want.
It's true. You know how many phrases I would repeat that I was told?
Oh my God!
That were just inaccurate, like the fat burning zone,
or how about
your heart rate? All like
apex information.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the five components of fitness.
Yeah, the five
thermogenics.
The five components of fitness.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that it all started from that. I mean, that was literally like my pitch. I would tell everybody that there's five components of fitness, and then one of those is supplementation.
One of the five components
is supplementation.
Was proper supplementation. That. Holy shit!
Yeah, right.
And one thing though that I think needs to be discussed though is as far as like how much money you can make as a personal trainer and why group training has its advantages, of course.
Oh,
you know, and so I think that, and I want to kind of present something that I've seen some trainers do somewhat successfully that I thought, you know, there might be something there. It might not be like the ultimate way to do this because obviously like we totally value the one-on-one time and being able to really articulate like on a better, you know, more individualized level what's going on. But, you know, I have seen some trainers, basically, they do a very extensive assessment and they get as much, you know, detailed information as possible. And they write out the program based off of that. And now they take them from there and they bring them in. They make sure they get them going. And the first week or 2 weeks, they are really just one-on-one and kind of taking them through the fundamentals. And then they start scaling themselves back where now they come in, they say hi, you know, they do their team, they tell them what the workout is, but they have their pre, you know, priming type of a situation established. Now they're going through the trainers there to answer any questions for them if they're going through their workout and they have something that they don't understand, or maybe the trainer sees them in their form and something they can address. But they have them kind of staggered. So they've staggered them on like 10, 15 minute increments. So I thought that was interesting.
I like that. I like that. And there's more pros, by the way. What you're saying is very, very, I could see how these trainers are trying to remedy the problem of group training. And I like that.
Well,
I like that approach. But another pro that we haven't even discussed is cost.
Mm-hmm.
Like if
yeah, you, they save money because of volume.
Yeah, I mean you're not going to pay as much for group training as you are on for one-on-one training. Not even close. I mean,
well, this is why I liked Orange Theory, because I thought that as far as a group class that's out there, I thought they were the best. If you were to do a group class, I thought a lot of the things they were doing with the ability to monitor your heart rate. So that was one of my favorite.
The best part of what they did.
It is. Because for somebody who ran boot camps for 10 plus years, one of the hardest challenges that I used to have as a trainer was, you know, here I have this boot camp of 20 people. They've been with me for like 6 months. Every month I'd have a couple new people. And then, okay, so here I get Mary Lou. It's her first day. Mary Lou's 300 pounds. She hasn't worked out in years. And she joins my boot camp class. And this part of the boot camp, they have to do these things and they run a lap, and she's just fucking getting hammered. She just can't keep up. She's getting laughed by everybody. She can't perform the exercises correctly. She's falling over. She doesn't have balance.
Sure, you could see in her demeanor, like,
oh, it just discouraged.
Discouraged.
Yeah.
Completely.
And you know, and mind you, and I like to think I'm pretty charismatic and personable, and I'm over there trying to do you know, make her feel as comfortable as I could. But at the end of the day, there was nothing I could say that didn't make her feel inferior to all these other ladies that were just kicking her ass. And it was very hard to help that person. And let's be honest, that person needed more help than anybody else. And I would lose those people a lot of the time. Sometimes I'd save them, but a lot of times I would lose them. That bothered me a lot. When I saw Orange Theory and the model they created, I find it very fascinating how they did the whole heart rate thing. And then they could show like the zones, they broke it up. Because what happens is if you're 300 pounds, you've never worked out before, you hit your cardio rate walking. You know what I'm saying? And then somebody who's been in training with me for 6 months, they actually have to get up to a sprint before they get to the same. So this lady could be walking next to this athlete who's running, but when they looked up on the TV screen, they were equally working as hard. So I loved that. And yeah, I thought that solved a major problem.
They really tried to remedy that.
Yeah. So I do want to give them kudos for a lot of things they're doing well, and they did well, and that's what turned me on to it. Now, I came in and I had all kinds of suggestions and things that I wanted to do. Some things they implemented in the facility. Some things they did change a little bit. A lot of things they didn't listen to me, and eventually they either will have to and they'll find a way to do it similar to what I'm talking about, but they definitely need to find a way to cattle these new people in, because it's a very intense type of setting, like most class settings are. And I was always suggesting, like, you know, we need to have something where you have to go through these like introductory,
like a beginner course.
Yes, introductory type courses before I throw you into the gauntlet. Because the gauntlet, as fun as it may seem and as sweaty as you may get and the amount of points you may achieve may sound awesome, is not really helping somebody who's got a lot of other issues that need to be addressed before they get to that point. So that's a big problem with all group classes that I can't stand.
Art of April, would you consider bringing a woman to the Mind Pump team to add a female perspective?
You know what I like about this question?
That we get it.
Dude, let me just ask you a question. Have you heard of the Beatles?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you heard of Yoko Ono?
Yeah. You know what makes... Okay, so here's... First off, Art of April, you ask lots of questions. We like you. You're a big follower. But I will say this. This question, I don't think you realize, and I think a lot of people don't realize, asking questions like this are... It's inherently sexist, okay? And it's easy. It's easy to understand. I could flip this. If we were an all-female host, you know, cast of Mind Pump, and someone said, hey, would you consider bringing a dude on there so you could have a guy's perspective? Everybody would be like, oh my God, that's so... And it is. It is a sexist thing, because I don't work with Adam, Justin, and Doug.
Because they're male.
Because they're guys. I could give a shit. I don't care if they're guys, girls, You transgender.
You keep saying you wish I was a girl.
That well, yeah. you'd have a nice big butt.
Yeah.
But if the truth is, I don't care about that. It's the chemistry works. The show works great. We have we can fire ideas off of each other.
It would change
all of us
everything. It would change everything.
It doesn't matter.
It wouldn't be mind pumping anymore. No, it'd be something else.
I'll tell you what. If we met a woman who blew our minds, who were like, oh my god, this could add so much value to mind pump. I don't give a shit if it's a guy or a girl. Let's bring them on.
Yeah, right?
It doesn't even matter. I mean, it doesn't.
But
even
that
matter.
Question too, to me, it's like I feel that it's so sexist because it's like it's not like that was the way we decided things, and it's not like we don't have female guests on here all the time.
Yeah.
Like some of my favorite guests have been female guests that we've had on the show. So
which we're always looking for that.
Yeah,
too.
We're always looking for women.
And I also don't like
always.
I know the question went deeper into like so a woman can relate to the hormones. It's, listen, as a trainer and as a doctor. Okay, you have to learn to be able to speak to both sexes. So if you think a woman who has gone through these like hormonal things that you want to hear that maybe Sal, Justin, or I can experience because we're a male is going to make them a better communicator or a better trainer, I disagree. Yeah. You know, because as a trainer of 15 plus years, just like as a doctor of 15 plus years, has to learn to communicate to both sexes. And that skill set is far more superior than either the doctor being a male or a female.
Well, it's the equivalent of, because I've heard people say this before, you guys know I get into politics and stuff like that. And you'll hear this sometimes like, well, you're a man or you're a woman or whatever.
Mm.
It would be the equivalent of me. Let's say I get, let's say I have cancer. Oh my God, I got lung cancer. And I go to the doctor. I'm like, hey, before you help me, have you ever had lung cancer before? Oh, you haven't? Forget it. I want to go to the guy who's had cancer.
Yeah.
Like, not only that, it'd be like you saying, oh, are you a male and have you had lung cancer?
It's
getting to that point.
Having a female perspective, I think it's just having a good perspective. I don't think there's a male or female component to it. And let's be honest.
Yes.
If you were to classify, and I hate classifying opinions and things as male and female, there's definitely there's definitely biological differences. There's definitely inherent things generally, but individuals vary so much that you could have a woman that acts so much more like a man and vice versa. That I hate saying this, but in terms of the perspectives, me and Adam bring a pretty we think a lot like women do, and it kind of balances out Justin's diesel fuel sandpaper sawdust testosterone.
And you see me really opinion. Trying. I really try to dive deep with you guys, and I just get lost.
Well, I feel it very insulting to my co-host too because, well, let me tell you why. I mean. If you don't know my history with trainers,
he was born a woman.
Professionals.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I at least 100, probably several hundred trainers have worked for me. I mean, and I've been around thousands. Sal and Justin are that fucking special. So I wouldn't replace them or add. I wouldn't try and add to them at whatsoever. Everybody, we talk about like how, it happened where we got together or this and that. Well, I'll tell you right now, if they weren't who they were, it wouldn't have worked when we got in that room. And I wouldn't have tried to make it work just because of that. It was like, it was that special that I wouldn't want to try and add. And it's crazy because we almost had Craig.
Right.
Who we all have a lot of respect for and we like Craig as a person. It would have never worked. Yeah. We did 15 episodes with Craig and we all talk about this all the time. That it would have never worked because the way all of our personalities are, as much as we talk about ego and stuff like that, there isn't any. And if one of these guys were girls, it wouldn't be different. We would have made it happen. It would have been no different. Yes.
No different.
I would never want to change the dynamic now, of the show whatsoever.
About the chemistry.
Here's where it comes from. I'll tell you where it comes from. It's not the female perspective or male perspective. It's you as a listener feeling like you can listen better to someone just because they're a woman. Or
amen.
Just,
that's exactly what it is.
So the reality is that, as an individual, and I have to do this as well, all of us have to do this, we have to check ourselves constantly. Am I filtering this through their sex, through their race, through their whatever? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to just listen to what they're saying, the information they're putting out? Am I just going to judge this person by their character? Mm. Because this is really a question. This question is really saying, hey, I'd love to have a woman on there because I'd love to listen to another woman because me and her are both women. And she understands.
Connected a deeper level that way.
Right. It has nothing to do with the information. Yeah. Or
well,
like
it
that.
Reminds me, too, when I used to get these guests, like when, this goes back to when Justin worked with me. And, you know, as the manager, my responsibility when I met a new guest was to pair them with the perfect, you know, client, right? And trainer that I would pair them together. And it always, you know, when somebody would ask for a sex of a trainer, I would always kind of like made them rethink that, you know, and I understand that you feel more comfortable with a woman or you feel more comfortable with a man, but do you want the best trainer for you or do you just want a male or you just want a female? Because I want to make sure we're clear on that before I provide this trainer. Because if you're telling me that what matters more to you is that it's a female, then I got plenty of females. If all you care about is it's a male, I got plenty of males. But I'm just from listening to you and you discussing what you're going through, this and that, I know a professional that's going to fucking change your life and that's going to help you. And if you allow me to do my job, I promise you're going to be happy. Yeah. And that's the way I look at my co-host is I know their experience. I know who they've trained. I know what they've been through. I know what they bring to the table. I wouldn't want anybody else sitting in this room with me, male or female.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. That being said, if I could magically turn you both into extremely attractive women.
We would all prefer, let's be honest.
We know this.
As much as I like looking at you guys, I had to throw in a little.
And that's not to say that they don't exist too, because we've done some, it's funny because I find this when we do these live seminars, we always get a female trainer afterwards who comes up and tells me this.
I imagine too, like, you know, with Anatton, how I just respect that he went to like the addressing like how to be a gentleman, right? That was his first, came out with that book, you know, and then he had the audacity to do a follow-up, you know, how to be a better female and how to carry yourself and like, how dare you, right? Like, great how can point. You identify with that? Well, you know, you can. And there's like, it's called observation. And that's all it is.
Well, especially when we're talking about what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're not trying to be a woman whatsoever. No. And I would never even try. And,
well, we're not going to talk about periods. Let's be honest.
But, you know, but what we do share, you know, is that there's thousands and thousands of women that we have trained that have had all different types of conditions. So if you would much rather have one woman who's been through all these similar things that you have been sharing information, or would you rather have one male who's had thousands of clients that have had all those situations that they've dealt with? I feel like that's a no-brainer to me.
You know, the other thing too is like, just hang on. Like Mind Pump Media as a media company started.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We already have people in our sights that we want to work with who will help develop and foster who are men and women.
Yeah.
So
looking. You know, and it's not that, a badass girl, like, oh man, awesome.
Just if you're a badass. And we've been looking for badasses.
Well, yeah.
And we found some that are men or women. They just happen to be one. You know.
Stay close to the Mind Pump TV. That's what the Mind Pump TV is going to be. It's going to have multiple legs and it's all coming this year. You're going to start to see this unfold. So we are going to have women. We're going to have more men. We're going to have lots of more brilliant minds that we're going to touch. The podcast will never change. Maybe we'll do another podcast and maybe we'll have, we've talked about producing, we've actually just
Mind Pump Pink.
Yeah.
So condescending.
I know, right? We've talked about producing a show that doesn't even have us in it, that has a woman by herself or a woman and a man. We've talked about this this before. So we may have that happen. We would not change
And by the way, when he says a man and a woman, it's not like we're sitting in a room, we're like, we need a show with a guy and a girl.
Yeah, right.
What we do is we sit down and say, hey, do you know, and I'm not going to say their names because this is all, you know, stuff we've talked about, but
who has good chemistry?
But like, hey, do you know so-and-so? Oh my God, she's awesome. She would be great on a podcast. And what about so-and-so? Oh, he's great. I think together they'd make a great.
Yeah, like, ooh.
It's not like, hey, we have this formula. We need a man and we need two girls.
Let's talk about what makes us say those things.
Then you make like Backstreet Boys.
These people talking about, we say, like, listen, if we're going to provide something for people that's different than what we are already providing, I want something totally different. So these people are way more PC. They have these huge hearts. They have great stories from where they came from and where they're at currently. They're great communicators. They're just, I mean, so there's all these things that we're, and they got experience, they got knowledge. Like, these are the things that we look at that would decide that if they would be a part of Mind Pump.
Yeah, nowhere on the list is, do you have a penis or a vagina?
Right.
Mm. Yep.
If you like Mind Pump and you have a penis or a vagina or neither, you might have neither.
Yeah, you don't need it.
Yep. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like it, your review, and we pick it, you'll get a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. Adam's at Mind Pump Adam. And the Golden Eagle, Doug, is at Mind Pump Doug.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.